You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. In the grand theme of things is back, and we are not panicking this time around. Not panicking at all, because the theme of this podcast is Don't Panic, music from the worlds of Douglas Adams. This was a theme that I thought about doing some time back, and then realized there wasn't enough music out there to support it. And then a release happened that I did not expect to happen that made this one possible. Douglas Adams obviously is best known as the author of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy novels, the five original novels, arguably only four of which needed to be written. That's as much as I love his work, that last book. Yeah, I don't know. Jury's out. The jury's out. One thing I did like that he was involved with, well, actually, I should sort of preamble here. Douglas Adams was involved in nearly every iteration of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The Infocom text adventure game, the record album adaptation, the stage show, and yes, there was a stage show. You name it, he had a hand in scripting it or making suggestions on it, and that included the 2005 movie that came along several years after Adams had died of a massive heart attack. Now, he is credited with, he is given, you know, the top screenplay credit in the movie. However, people still rail against it for a number of reasons, which we'll go into after we talk about the music from the movie. The music from the 2005 big screen adaptation of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is by Joby Talbot, who had also scored the League of Gentlemen series, and comedy series, and such movies as Arctic Tale, Hunky Dory, and Burke and Hare. Now, it's interesting that he had scored the television series League of Gentlemen, because the League of Gentlemen writers and performers, including Mark Gatiss, Reese Shearsmith, and so on, did the Vogon voices in this movie. So it's kind of an interesting question as to who introduced whom to whom. Some of the electronic music accompanying the Hitchhiker's Guide entries in the movie was composed and performed by Nigel Godrich, who most people, if you ask who Nigel Godrich is, they will tell you that he was the producer of Radiohead's album OK Computer. However, he has done film scoring in his own right, including Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and it is my sworn duty as a fan of the criminally underappreciated power pop artist Jason Faulkner to point out that Nigel Godrich has worked with Jason Faulkner, including on that soundtrack, as a matter of fact, now that I think of it. Here is a selection of music from the 2005 movie adaptation Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Joby Talbot and Nigel Godrich. Thank you. Music from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the 2005 big screen, big budget version by Joby Talbot, with additional contributions by Nigel Godrich. I just have to rant for a minute. I don't understand, and I recently, over on Facebook in a group that I co-admin called River Valley Time Lords, which is kind of a a localized group for fans of British sci-fi, mainly Doctor Who. I mentioned that I did not see what people disliked about the movie. It was so much better than I was expecting it to be. And given the length of time since Douglas Adams had died, and given that, it was a big, it was a major studio tentpole, it was a Disney movie. That could have been Disney's franchise, and no franchise arose from it, and I really haven't figured out why. I don't think it lost money on the deal, but there seemed to be a backlash among the fans at the time that I remember very well. And interestingly enough, the Facebook conversation that I instigated, several people came forward and said, "No, I loved it." And then finally, about a week after everyone else had stopped talking about it and saying, "Oh, I loved it," one guy finally shows up and slags it off. Not exactly sure why. I remember a friend of mine at the time, really, one thing that he really latched on to was the line at the end of the movie, about the restaurant at the end of the universe, and then someone, I think Marvin says, "Oh, the restaurant is at the other end of the universe." And a friend of mine latched onto that line as somehow being symptomatic of the studio and the other writers completely not understanding anything about the Hitchhiker storyline. I thought it worked really well. These books have been out for quite a while. I think most people know which end of the universe the restaurant at the end of the universe is at. It is at the temporal end of the universe, not at, one physical end or another. It's a strange thing to latch on to try to prove a point. I'll put it that way. I liked it. Sorry. Moving on now to some of Douglas Adams' other works outside of the Hitchhiker's realm. In 2010, the BBC aired a one-hour adaptation of Dirk Gently's Holistic Agency under the vastly simplified title Dirk Gently. Fair enough. They mentioned the Holistic Detective Agency often enough in the show itself that I don't think there's any confusion as to the source material. The series starred Stephen Mangan as Dirk Gently, and I thought he made a fantastic Dirk Gently. I remember reading the books and thinking for some reason, and this may have been influenced by the knowledge that Douglas Adams had co-written the Doctor Who story City of Death. For some reason, when I read the novels, when I read the Dirk Gently novels the first time around, the picture of Dirk I had in my head was Tom Chadbon from City of Death, from that Doctor Who story. And Stephen Mangan couldn't possibly be more different from that mental picture of Dirk Gently, and yet, to me now, he's the definitive one. Oddly enough, this was not the first BBC attempt to adapt Dirk Gently. The BBC had already done a radio version of Dirk Gently. The pilot movie did well enough. It received a good enough response that it came back for a mini season of three further 1 hour episodes. It's sort of like a season of Sherlock the following year in 2011. And then I forget if it was late 2011 or early 2012, as we were all waiting for word on whether or not Dirk Gently would return to our screens. Stephen Mangan came along and tweeted the very sad news that the show had effectively been canceled for political reasons within the BBC, to do with funding and cutbacks, things like that. So sadly, we only got 4 hours of Dirk Gently. And I liked the music from it. I honestly never expected for there to be a soundtrack album from that show. And yet the, I think it's a Norwegian label called Movie Score Media, does very short-run limited releases, usually in the neighborhood of 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 copies of fairly, you know, mostly TV projects and indie movie projects that may have gotten some attention, but not a whole lot. They released a soundtrack to Dirk Gently, the pilot and the three episodes that followed, on CD in 2012. The music from Dirk Gently is by Daniel Pemberton, who did the music for the movie Steve Jobs, as well as the 2015 remake of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and a movie called The Counselor. Here are selections from Daniel Pemberton's music from Dirk Gently. The music was by Daniel Pemberton. The series, such as it was Dirk Gently, the 2010-2011 BBC TV adaptation of Douglas Adams' novels around that character. Now, despite the fact that the BBC canned that version of the show, apparently they are now working on another TV adaptation, which will apparently have a different cast and crew and is being done in cooperation with BBC America. So it'll wind up being, you know, one of these things kind of like Orphan Black. I don't understand why they couldn't simply continue with the cast of the 2010 and 2011 productions. File that under things I'll never quite understand. You know, sort of like Hitchhikers fans who disliked the 2005 movie. But if there's anything Hitchhiker's Guide fans can unite in their dislike of, well, most of them, I'm not one, because I'm an iconoclast and I just liked how they did it, it's the 1981 BBC TV adaptation that ran for 6 half-hour episodes. Now, the story of the TV version of Hitchhiker's Guide is rather legendary. The BBC promised that they would be seeking co-production deals and money from other broadcasters around the world, and they would be lavishing this adaptation of Hitchhiker's Guide, which had, after all, originated on BBC Radio, even before the novels went into print. They would be lavishing incredible production values on the Hitchhiker's Guide TV series, such as shooting in Iceland for Magrathea and, you know, doing all sorts of things and trying all sorts of new production techniques that had been hitherto untried or simply too expensive, you know, for such cheapo cousins on the BBC schedule, such as Doctor Who. Now, as we all know, those claims, those promises, didn't really pan out. Hitchhiker's Guide wound up filming in the same rock quarries as Doctor Who. And while some, you know, some serious cash was splashed out on things like sets and Zaphod's second head, which was, you know, as much animatronic as the BBC could afford in 1980, you know, here's a spoiler, that wasn't very much animatronic. It wound up looking kind of cheap, and furthermore, Douglas Adams famously clashed with the producer of the television version, who had absolutely no respect for either material or personnel who had originated in the BBC's radio department, and that included both Douglas Adams and his creation. The music from the 1981 Hitchhiker's Guide series has never been released. Let me tell you why you're actually going to be hearing music from it then. The American pressing of the complete series DVD had some seriously messed up sound. The front and rear channels were reversed, and it occurred to me, not long after I discovered this, that if I, you know, screwed some input jacks onto my speaker leads, I could unplug the front speakers, which were carrying the music mix that is usually reserved for rear speakers on a surround sound mix. I could plug those into something and record the music and effects mix. Fair warning, since this is not something from an official release, which is normally kind of a gray area I don't go into on this podcast, but you know, we're talking Douglas Adams, we're talking Hitchhiker's Guide, and for me, this is the sound of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. In fact, I would argue very strongly that Nigel Godrich's synthesized accompaniment for the guide entries in the 2005 movie are heavily influenced by the music for similar passages in the 1981 TV series. The music is by Paddy Kingsland, who is a resident of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop at the time. He had started out on the groundbreaking 1970s post-apocalyptic series for kids called The Changes, which I actually watched that recently, and not only is the music mesmerizing, it's a really good show that you just don't hear a lot about. Talk about that another time, mainly. Maybe. Patty Kingsland had also done music for Doctor Who. His music had seen out the Fourth Doctor and introduced the Fifth. Kingsland's main contribution to the BBC Radiophonic Workshop's output, in my opinion, was an incredible sense of melody. A lot of the workshop's earlier output had been... some of it had been almost atonal. Kingsland really brought in a very tuneful sensibility, and you can recognize his stuff instantly. At least I can. I can recognize it instantly. As recently as 2009, he was still composing for TV for the British children's series Blips. But right now, here are selections from the 1981 BBC TV adaptation of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. There are some minor sound effects that could not be removed from the mix. And, just for fun, I worked in a song or two because, as is now generally well known, there were four songs released by Marvin the Paranoid Android. These were actually singles. At least one of them, and I really should have looked this up because I don't have it written in my notes, which I'm actually operating off of paper this time around. How quaint. One of these singles actually charted. So this is your full... this is your full early 80s Hitchhiker's Guide experience wrapped up in one little edited suite of highlights. Here is music from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Thank you. trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. Like much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful.
Yeah.
Music from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, composed by Patty Kingsland of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop from BBC TV's 1981 very short-run six-episode adaptation of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And that sadly concludes our exploration, our musical exploration of the worlds of Douglas Adams. Because short of waiting for that next version of Dirk Gently to come along, there are no more works of Douglas Adams to really adapt. And therefore, there, you know, unless someone reboots Hitchhiker's Guide as a movie, which I would dread that. I would really dread that now, because the 2005 version was so good, and they failed, spectacularly failed, to grasp what an opportunity that was. I would just assume they didn't reboot it. Maybe these reinventions, whenever they do, inevitably come along, because Hollywood loves its remakes, and apparently so does the BBC. Maybe they'll be really good. Maybe I shouldn't panic. That's it for In the Grand Theme of Things. Please remember where your towel is. That's all for now. In the Grand Theme of Things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.